Blog Talk Radio.
I'm
all right, I think I put everybody on mute, and I was talking and talking and talking, and I didn't even realize I was on mute. Brother Mikhail, are you open?
I'm here, family.
All right. I was talking. I was going for it, too, brother. I said some deep stuff. How did y'all hear me when I first came on? Were you able to hear anything when the music stopped?
Nope. It went dead silent, fam.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me welcome you all to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. This is the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host, Brother Vernon Muhammad. And yes, occasionally, even I have to prove that I'm human. I had the phone on mute and didn't even realize it, but that's okay, because you're still in the best place you can possibly be. We are joined by a wonderful guest. I'm excited about the subject that we have going on today. Brother Mikhail Trader-Matic, you might have seen that name there in the description of the show. Muhammad, Brother Mikhail Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother. How are you doing today?
Wa alaikum salam. I'm great. Black God, how you doing, family?
I'm feeling good like a winner should, brother. I was when I was on mute, I was actually saying that people have been asking me that question lately, and I say, hey, you know, I'm in no pain, and everything appears to be working the way that God intended for it to work, so I'm doing pretty doggone good, for real.
Yes, sir.
We just came from a unity fast. We just came off of a unity fast. Many of us were able to break the fast today. And I was also saying that I'm in recuperation mode throughout the you know, this broadcast. I may be taking a break to sip some water or something like that, because I was out in the sun for most of yesterday, and it took its toll on me, for real. I wasn't right until maybe an hour or two after I broke the fast with some watermelon and some bean soup. So I'm taking it slow, I'm taking it easy, and I think this should be an easy show, because we're dealing with one of my favorite subjects and one of my favorite topics. It's been on the table for the past month. Yes, indeed. I've been waiting to get you on. I had Brother Steve Fox on the show about a month or two ago, and then we did a conference call a couple of weeks ago. But I was anxious to get one of his students on, so you can share with us what your experience has been. But we're gonna slow walk into this, okay? We're gonna ease into it. The subject for the show today is, and my switchboard has closed on me, so I'm taking some time to open it back up. But the subject for the show today is started off with a question: what do black people, the stock market, and freedom all have in common? And when I was muted, I actually said before we all get lost in the sauce and thinking that we know so much about why we should do this or why we shouldn't do that and who said not to do this. And, you know, we're going to clear some words. We're going to make sure that we got our understanding right. You know, as the Bible says, in all thy getting, get understanding, not think knowing. So we're going to get some understanding of exactly what the stock market is, what global markets are, what trading is, what investing is, and what ownership is. So we're going to tackle some of these words. But before we do that, brother, I want you to share with us. I put a link out there to the article that you wrote and that I posted up on the Nation's Business Exchange, because I thought that so many more people need to see it than just a small group on Facebook. But there is a deep connection between trading, traders, the stock market, and the Nation of Islam. Who knew? Who'd have thunk it? But right there in our lessons, there's valuable information and detail that pertain to that whole idea and that whole concept. And in addition to that, in this wonderful article you wrote, there's so much, you've referenced so many quotes and so many definitions and talks on the subject, that you know, I think is a good place to start. What inspired you to write this article that you wrote, Trading Stock Markets and the Nation of Islam, Part 1?
Well, you know, there's a lot of believers that I talk to that I felt have a misconception about the markets and black people in general have a misconception about the markets. And so as Muslims, I was aware of the in our lessons, it talked about the markets and traders, and I was always aware of it, but being in Brother Steve's class made me go into in-depth about it. And I think that's one area where we do a disservice. Most time I hear when I'm talking to people, it's gambling or, you know, they have a fear of the markets because of the cycle of crashes, the cycle of economic bubbles. And there's been cycles of crashes and economic bubbles since the 1600s with the tulip bubble. Like, that's nothing new. But they happen. And I would hear that response a lot from the believers. Allah permits trade, and that Prophet Muhammad was a trader, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a trader. You know, we seem to not embrace it in its right perspective. So I wanted to go into that in depth to show the believers, like, this is an area that we shouldn't put our head in the sand on. You know, in our lessons, the meaning of civilization or the duty of the civilized person is to teach the science of everything in life. So, see, we can quote that, but when we're talking about finances and one thing, how do you teach the science of life dealing with something that affects you every day, which is the stock market? I mean, the mere fact that we're on Blog Talk Radio, which is a publicly traded company, or on a computer, which is a publicly traded company, on Facebook, talking to each other, which is a publicly traded company. These are all companies that are participants in the stock market that we utilize. And so I did not like the attitude that I saw, whereas there is a shin, if you're in it, in the market, there's a disposition that you're gambling or you're doing something that the Honorable Muhammad taught against. We all use products and services and shop at stores and buy foods from companies that get their capital out of the stock market. So in one sense, we're just a giant consumer when we take no control over what we consume. And so that is and from my opinion, that is the critical thing that Elijah Muhammad is talking about, and do it for yourself, taking control of what you consume, producing your things for yourself. And so since we're in the system, it does not make sense to sit back and just be a consumer and not extract profits from what you consume for the benefit itself. So I wanted to go into that to explain it for those who had that misconception. And it just inspired me to go a little further. I'm actually working on two more notes. I'm taking my time, but it's in the same vein of that series, though.
Well, brother, I tell you what, man, you have definitely tapped into that hunger vein, because after reading this, it says part one, but I'm anxiously anticipating and awaiting part two, and you said part three. This is so full of knowledge and wisdom. You know, this is knowledge that we can actually put into practice. So why don't we start, man? I'm glad that you opened up the way that you did, and you start with a verse from the Quran. It's Surah 2, verse 275. It says, those who consume interest cannot stand on the day of resurrection, except as one stands who is being beaten by Satan into insanity. That is because they say trade is just like interest, but Allah has permitted trade and has forbidden interest. So right off the bat, right off the
bat,
the terms that we're talking about,
that's similar to
the clear difference between what Allah permits, which is what we're talking about, and what He has forbidden, which is what we're not talking about, okay? Allah has permitted trade. And also, at the Million Man March, I always cite this because this was such a significant moment in my own life, but also in world history. When Minister Farrakhan had almost 2 million black men on the Mall in Washington, D.C., gathered together, he could have made him pledge and take an oath and, you know, vow to do anything in the world that there was to do. But he made us take a pledge. And of all of those pledges that we took, the one that stands out and has stuck with me the most over the years is, I pledge to build schools, hospitals, factories, and businesses and enter into international trade for the benefit of myself, my family, and my people. We took a pledge. He led over 2 million black men in a pledge to enter into international trade. So what we're talking about here is the science of trade, how to become a trader, what a trader is, and what do traders do. That's the crux.
That pledge, you used to, I came in the nation in 19, let's see, I got my ex in 92, and that was one of the pledges you had to actually sign that. They gave it to you as a card, and you had to sign that before you got your ex. So that was more than 20 years ago, and then he brought that to the Million Man March. But just for myself, I had to think, like, I've been in the nation that long, I can't even, I've started a business, you know, I've attempted that, but getting into international trade and commerce, I couldn't show you nothing. 20 years in the nation, I couldn't show you that. So it's something that that caused me to actually go back into the teachings and study. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the minister both really pushes trade and commerce. It's the national life of how we can do for self, but we just don't have the proper disposition towards it, I believe. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote that note. Because I kept hearing it's gambling. And so that was one of the first things that I addressed, gambling and what gambling is. Like, when you're taking a risk, you're gambling when you break the speed limit. When you go in 90 miles an hour and you disobey the rules of traffic laws, you increase your risk of getting into an accident. You're gambling. So there's similarities there. But it's when you're violating rules. If you're jumping into, no one's going to jump into a 747 with a pilot who's never flown it before. You're not going to take that risk. That seems absurd, but no one's going to do that. You're not going to get into a 18-wheeler and never drove it before and go down a steep grade or an incline on a mountain. You don't know how to drive it. So, but if you get in and press the gas, you're gambling because you don't know what you're doing. You're violating the rules of how you brake, and there's all kind of rules when you're coming down a mountain driving a big rig and braking techniques and stuff like that, using your Jake brake, and don't ride your brakes. If you don't know that, you're going to die. Yeah, the likelihood of you dying is increased by tenfold. So it's the same thing. That's gambling, and we don't even look at it that way. Anytime I take a risk, if I take a risk without knowing what I'm doing, I'm gambling. If I approach a transformer and an electrical grid, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm trying to fix something, more than likely I'm going to get electrocuted. I'm gambling. It's just the same principle. If you enter into the markets without knowing what you're doing, without no rules governing how you're doing it, you're taking a risk of blowing away hard-earned money. You're taking a risk because you don't know what you're doing. The same way you're taking a risk if you're driving down the street 120 miles an hour, violating the traffic laws, the likelihood of you getting into an accident is increased. So it's the same principle. It's the same understanding of risk is always there. There's risk in everything that we do in life. It does not stop us from driving a car. You know, we take that risk every day. I don't know no one who does not drive a car or ride a bus or get in a car because of the risk of getting into the accident and loss of life is there. But we manage that risk by obeying speed limits, by obeying traffic laws, by doing everything that mitigates us getting into an accident. And even then, if I do all of that, there's still a probability that somebody else might violate the rules and cause an accident. But we don't not participate in driving a car. It's the same exact principle when it comes to trading. It's just our fear of what we don't know, and that holds us back, I believe.
I get that. There are certain laws and certain axioms, I guess, that are stated as laws of reality. Is the law of probability, the law of averages, although some of them we may have heard of or may not have heard of, but they are real to some degree. And the way to make sure that you're not just, you know, throwing caution to the wind and taking chances is, number one, to inform yourself, to be informed, to learn. The thing that mitigates risk is knowledge. You know, if you walk into a room and you're scared of this, scared of that, or scared of the other, it's because you don't know what's in that room. But once you know, once you take the time to learn, either before you get in or as soon as you get in, learn what is there, you mitigate your risk. You reduce your risk. You eliminate, in some instances, your risk, if that's possible. Like you said, there's always a risk in everything. You can take all the precautions that you possibly can take and still get hit by a bus, get into a car accident, you know, end up losing your life today. Nothing is guaranteed. Everything is in the hands of the Creator. But the way to proceed is not to proceed in ignorance, not to proceed based
right.
off of what you think you know when you're dead wrong. Know what
right.
you know, first of all.
Even if you start, even if a believer says, you know, I'm not going to trade, I'm going to just start a business. Okay, that's fine too. But if you don't sit and plan a strategy, if you don't sit and do your SWOT analysis and do a business plan and 5-year projections on what it is you're trying to do, and you just throwing away money into something you're trying to do, the likelihood of you failing is increased. But that's a risk you take when you get into business. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's about managing risk, and we do it every day. It's just when you talk about finances and trade, now it becomes, well, it's gambling or it's religious or something I don't want to learn because the Caucasian makes it look like it's too difficult to learn. But he does that just to keep you, just to be a slave maker to the poor. And so we turn away from it. It actually irritates me to a degree when someone asks me about trading, and then they come with the negative aspect, and then I ask them, well, what is your alternative? I mean, because right now you're dependent on everything that comes out of the market, and I just hear either do for self or, you know, you got to go work a job, right? So that the working a job, I know we got to do what we got to do, but we should be trying to steal away. That's not going to free us, you know. It's just not going to free us. Being a cashier at Walmart is not going to free you. So it just be the attitude, and that's what made me actually go into the note much more. Like, it is really designed to keep us to being a consumer. The Caucasian, man, you got to give him props on that, because we don't even protest about it. We just happily buy his products, happily go to Walmart and shop, get navy beans, whatever it is, but we just consume it. With the electricity that we pipe into they pipe into the house, the water, the electric utilities, all that stuff is tradable, but we don't trade it. We just consume it. He got us as a repeat customer. Yeah, a repeat customer. And that's what becomes just crazy. Like, you're just happy being a consumer. It looks like, well, those are things that I need. Those are things I need, utilities. I need electricity. That's fine. We need those things, but you should try to make money off of things you consume. That's the part that
right.
we miss. Everybody else get that, but except us. We just consume. And I read Savior's Day. I was reading the NOI research where the minister was talking about $1.2 trillion spending power amongst us as blacks, but it's consuming. So if I was a Caucasian business person, black people would be the best people to extract money from, because they're not thinking about making money off that. They just consume it, and they're the perfect vehicle to make money from. You understand what I'm saying?
I get you, brother. I get you. I mean, even today I saw a real-life true example, and it was kind of sad, man. It was something my thing is cooperative economics, you know, us understanding that one of the vehicles that we have to put in place if we're going to consume is consume or make sure that you're buying from your own community. You know, there was an instance where a brother needed bathroom tissue. There was a need for bathroom tissue. You know, we were in a public place, public meeting, and they had to stock the bathrooms with bathroom tissue. Now, one of the vendors in the facility sells bathroom tissue inside the place where there wasn't any bathroom tissue. But another brother took it upon himself to go outside, go to the supermarket or the CVS or wherever he went, bought their bathroom tissue and came back and you know, I was like, didn't you know that they have it in that room right there? You know, we just so programmed to not look at what's going to empower ourselves. In many instances, we just overlook it. And that is why I think this article that you wrote is so important, because if we get to the lecture that was broadcast from Chicago and from Mas Merriam today, the man talked about how, I don't know when this was, 1800s, whenever it was, there was somebody who stood before the state legislature and said, oh, what we need to do is find a way to block the light, block intellect from entering the minds of black people. We want them to the point where they can't even intellectualize and conceptualize the ideas that would make them free. So we got to stop and think about that, see how that has affected us, how we've been put under that. And I'm saying it again, the key to that is making sure that we get a firm understanding of what we're talking about before we start formulating opinions and trying to say what we could do and should do and shouldn't do. You talked about how many people's objection is that trading or anything having to do with stock markets or the stock exchange is gambling. And in your article, you put the definition. You say it's trading gambling. And you say the definition of gambling is, one, the activity or practice of playing at a game of chance for money or other stakes. Playing at a game of chance, okay? That means you don't know what the outcome is going to be. Mistake number one.
Yeah, so you can apply that to business for sale. I'm sorry, but man, you can apply that for business for sale. You don't know the outcome. If I start a business, let's just say selling bean pies is going to be my business, and I'm going to do that 100%. I don't know the outcome of that if I don't do it correctly. If I don't plan, if I don't do SWOT analysis and all that stuff that you do when you're supposed to do a business, I'm going to fail. And that regardless if I have good intentions don't make a good business. Planning does,
right,
and execution does, but you still take that risk, and you have the risk of failing. So it covers everything, but it's just taking, not just applying gambling to trading like we do from limited knowledge. I mean, you can gamble in everything we do. You gambling on your radio show,
right,
you know, whether
that's
or not it's,
right,
it'd be successful or not. That's a gamble. You're spending money to get your radio show up and running, and a year from now, if you're still going off page due to a lot, if it's not, it was a risk you took. So, but that's a gamble. Hmm. Now, do we look at it in that context? And when Al Black Muhammad said no gambling of any kind, does that mean we don't do anything that requires risk? If that's the case, then we should never do for self in business. See,
exactly.
So you gotta understand what he mean by that and what risk means and how to apply it. That's why I did
and
that.
Put it in proper context.
Learning that. Yes, sir. Look, I started a business. I had a 2,000 square foot recording studio that I started from scratch, and that it started from nothing, and so it was a gamble. But I was successful. I don't have it anymore. But it was a gamble. I took that risk. I had some successes. I had some failures. I learned a lot. But it was a risk I took. Am I going to get F time for gambling on doing something for myself with my own talents? Like, you see what I mean? Like, we take risk and we gamble when we don't know what we're doing. But when we just do something without regards to the rules. So that's the reason why gambling is the first thing in that note, just to break that down and help those who may have that conception, you know, give some clarity.
Right. You go on to say that, you know, some say that investing or trading stocks is just like gambling, and this reasoning caused people to shy away from the stock market to understand why investing in stocks and commodities is inherently different from gambling. We need to review what it means to buy stocks. A share of common stock is ownership in a company. It entitles the holder of a claim, the holder to a claim on an asset, as well as a fraction of the profits that the company generates. We don't think in terms of ownership. You know, I listen to many people who come with their business idea, their pitch, or, you know, sign up to this, join my network, or whatever the case may be. but in many instances we're always looking to join on or be a part of somebody else's thing without thinking of how we can own a piece of it. In many instances,
right.
when we have the opportunity to own something, we overlook that to jump on somebody else's bandwagon. But we got to change the way that we think. You know, it's very, very, it really is critical that we get this subject and change the way that we're thinking in terms of ownership and what trade and commerce really is. I always make a joke, you know, between the people who say that they want to go into business and people who are really trying to understand the science of business. Business has not gotten us far. The people who are successful and have, you know, made their name and their legacy live on, they weren't doing business. They were business people. They entered into business endeavors and built them up to be successful so that they could last and so that they could weather the storms that come. It means they thought of things that in many instances we avoid or totally are oblivious to. We got to think outside
right.
the box.
Right.
We got to expand what it is that we're holding on to.
Right. Right. One thing I learned that in business, a successful business is something or someone who provides a service or a product that solves a problem, you know, and we're the most disciplined of our people as a nation. And you just talked about what there about ownership and stock. You know, if we were trading and we were buying shares in a company enough so, let's say the nation did that, enough so on a secret level, like we're not, what I mean secret is we're just buying it without being on the radar. If we can get 74% shares of a certain company, that triggers a whole other thing called a domination and profit transfer contract, where basically, you know, the profits and the power is going over to the person who owns 74% of the shares in a company. You can literally take over a company. You can literally take over a company. I'm not saying it's that easy to do, but that's just strategically in our thinking. We don't necessarily have to start from the ground up, build a grocery store from the ground up. We could take over one if we wanted to, if we was unified. And see, and doing that, running the radar, we take over Walmart. It seems impossible, but, I mean, it may seem impossible to those who think small, like Brother Steve would say, you got to think big, you know. You can do it. It's just that simple. And Brother Steve has an example on his online training where Porsche is a small car manufacturer and Volkswagen is like one of the largest car manufacturers out there, and Porsche was secretly purchasing shares in Volkswagen for about 3-4 years until they almost hit 74% or the percent needed to trigger that, and Volkswagen caught on and bought the remaining shares, but they still profited from it. They sold their shares and made, I think, $6 billion off them. So, I mean,
right.
if we did that, look at the money that they have now that they could have had, or they have $6 billion. Look at if we did that, what could we do in the nation to help what we're trying to accomplish with our people? It's just not depending on us donating money from wage earners, just not that angle. That's one angle, but there's many other angles.
Right on the head. I mean, he raised the question. The minister raised the question. When are we going to conquer? We've been at this long enough. We should have that mindset now to go out and conquer. And when you talk about business, when you talk about just what we're talking about here, ownership, that's how it's done. Nothing is drastic or dramatic about it. Little by little by little, people start acquiring and acquiring more territory, acquiring more stakes of ownership until eventually you get
right.
to a point where your stake of ownership gives you some power. Whether it's think of everything that we buy. You started out talking about all the things that we use on the regular, that we don't own stake in any of it. Every one of us uses bathroom tissue, but we don't think about owning part of the bathroom tissue company. Every one of us drives a car. We don't try to own any stock in the car brand we buy or in any major gas company. We got to start thinking like that. If we do it in a unified way, if we are unified, we are used to following, you know, a direction, a clear direction. You know, mobilizing and moving out the way that we do is nothing. If we think for ourselves, because we're supposed to use the best of intelligence, think and all begin to move in a direction that's in accord with the directives we've already been given, enter into international trade, you know, do something for self, acquire knowledge to benefit self, there's no reason why we all can't take a positive step in the right direction and make a difference, put ourselves in a position of power. And nobody can stop us from doing that.
Just us. We're the only ones stopping each other.
We're the only ones keeping our own foot in our own way by thinking that we know when we really don't know.
Yeah, see, that's for me personally. See, I just don't want to be a talker. Like, the nation does not need talkers, and we do not help the minister and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in doing what we're trying to do. Just talking, like, this just does not work. Like, the Don Louis Farrakhan, Savior's Day, he's like pleading with us to do something for ourselves, and here's a plan. But you know, we just talking. And I don't want to do that. I'd rather come to the minister with, like, hey, brother minister, I got $1 million. You want to get that? You want to get that land in Texas, that California? You want? Here's $1 million towards it, because I did something on my own to extract money out of the markets and say, boom, here you go. I don't like that position of how we are collectively. It seems like we just wait for the minister to tell us to do everything. Everything of common sense. And it's like, you shouldn't have to do that. Man, balance Satan. We need to help more, be able to help. And one of the things that we can do help-wise is money, financially. It just makes stuff happen. And using something that we already consume to do it. So, I don't want the misconception to be like, you love Wall Street or something. I don't give a damn about this Caucasian. However, I know I'm depending on his services just like you are, and I don't like that. So I don't like just being got for my money, regardless of what services you're providing. So you're going to get money from me, I'm going to get money from you. So that's how I look at it. That's how I look at it now, you know. So everything that's in my house, it's on my list to trade. You know, it really is an entirely different mindset. And as I started researching and studying and saw that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was a trader. He was a trader. Literally, he was a trader. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a trader, trading with Korea and Peru with the fish and Japan and whatnot. He was setting up deals. That's trading. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It gives you a whole other mindset to do. And we just, sometimes I just think we're afraid to just jump outside of what has been the norm as far as the nation go. We just don't think outside that box. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just speaking for me. I just can't do that anymore. I got to do what I can, the best that I can, and I know money is one aspect of doing that. To help
us. Brother, you know what?
It's
not like we're thinking about something that hasn't already been told to us. The minister actually told us directly when he was just speaking to us, the believers, think outside the box. He can't spell everything out for us. There's some stuff we just have to get on our own.
This isn't even innovating
or inventing something on our own. This is just straight in line with what we're supposed to do. Put ourselves in the best position so that we can be the best asset we can to our nation.
That's what I mean. We have to be told to think outside the box. Like, the teachings, man, they're so perfect. And if we just really get into them, it makes you think outside the box. It's like I told Brother Steve, even when you're coming into the nation, you can't even join a nation until you're able to recite the student enrollment in actual facts. And the student enrollment in actual facts is telling you about the globe, your global home, the way the earth,
global,
the diameter, the circumference. So you think it's already designed to get you thinking global, and once you get in a nation, you get the problem book and the lessons, and the problem built it takes you all over the universe, the diameter of the universe, all the planets and their weight and their rotation, their diameter, and what has civilization. You're already taught to think global you already taught the thing universal, but somewhere along the line there's a disconnect. Just when coming into the nation versus looking at world markets, there's a disconnect. We just become consumers, or we limit ourselves to small type of businesses or whatnot, which I don't knock, but it just be small, like the incense and stuff like that. I think it could be much bigger if we enterprise it, the distribution and stuff. But if we can just think bigger on those lines, like we're already taught to do that, but somehow there's just a disconnect. And somehow there's a belief, at least I've encountered, that think if you deal with Wall Street, you're somehow supporting this structure. Like that's just a fallacy to me. Like for instance, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in the Wants and Belief of the Muslims that we believe that our former slave master is obligated, if we had our own land, that he is obligated to supply us with raw materials for the next 20 and 25 years until we're able to produce from ourselves. So one question I asked one person is, well, let's say we did have our own land, where do you think this Caucasian is going to get the raw materials to supply us with? Where do you think that's going to come out of? You think he's just going to tax the people? You know, offset that with stuff that already comes out of the markets. There's already companies that deal with raw materials every day, commodities, sheetrock, whatever it is, metal, gold, all day, every day. It's going to come out of that. And so are we sustaining Wall Street if we got our own land and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he feels the Caucasian is obligated to support us for the next 20 to 25 years until we can do for self. No, that's not the case. So it's just about how you look at things. And that's what I like about the trader mentality, man. You're disconnected with – you're connected but disconnected. You're connected because you have to deal with those markets and Wall Street, and that's what the Caucasian uses. But you're disconnected is that you're not a part of his psychology. You're not a part of his mental and how he deals with things. You can see how he maneuvers and how he does what he does, and you're maneuvering for the betterment of self. That's just the great thing about the mentality of being a trader. So it's just about learning. That's basically what it is about. Just like what you said earlier, removing that fear, learning what you don't know. Don't comment on what you don't know. Like Brother Jabril would say all the time, the most powerful thing you can say is, I don't know. You don't know, that's fine. But if you open your mind to learn and not be, I don't know the right term, fearful. Learn what you don't know. We fear no God but Allah. And that's in every facet of anything. Just learn it and then make a decision. But something's got to give, because what we're doing right now ain't working. Going to a job 9 to 5 ain't working. Got to do it, though, I understand, but it's not working. So we need to be able to. No, not what the minister's trying to do. And what the minister's trying to do, as he presents it, in my opinion, to the people, you know, it takes a lot of unity for that to even accomplish. And there's certain other things that's got to happen before our people are going to even try that because of their belief in this Caucasian. This is why the chastisement is necessary. It will take something like that before we all scream Allahu Akbar, you know. But what those that are conscious, I would say, those who have knowledge itself, we don't necessarily have to wait for that. We can use our wisdom to do whatever we can. We should be the leading forefront of people in this, in my opinion, because of the mindset and the discipline, the type of thinking, you know, who is God and who is the devil, and that undergirds our thinking, and you apply that in the market. I mean, it's a hell of a way of thinking. I'm telling you, and I just think we're missing out by ignoring that.
You're right, brother.
My opinion.
Let me do this. I want to make sure that I throughout this broadcast for bringing up some of the terms that we need to become familiar with, because we, like you said, we have some misconceptions. And one of these terms, we're at 8:17 now. We're going to take a break in a little while and then come back and finish up, because 9 o'clock will be here before we know it. But one of the terms that I wanted to clear up and make sure we at least start with an understanding of is stock exchange, okay? That's you say stock exchange, and automatically some people just start running from you, okay? The stock exchange, a stock exchange, is a building or place where stocks and other securities are bought and sold. Simple as that. An association of brokers and dealers in stocks and bonds who meet together to transact business according to fixed rules. Learn the rules of the game, and then you dispel ignorance, you dispel fear, you dispel and mitigate some of the risk by learning the rules. That's the first step to mitigating or eliminating some of the risk. You can't eliminate all risk, but you can definitely level the playing field and put yourself in a position where you can't be taken advantage of, or you can't be at a disadvantage anymore, because knowledge is the great equalizer. Once you know how the game is played, then you know where you can get in and where you can fit in. That's where you got to start.
Right. A Walmart is a stock exchange, and in that sense, you're buying and selling. You can't sell in Walmart. You can only buy. The seller is doing what he's doing, and you as a buyer come in and buy what you buy. You can't resell what you buy in Walmart, but it's the same principle. Those rules just say, yeah, you buy and you got to go. You can't buy and resell. A stock market where we participate in, you can buy and resell. It's the same thing. Like, we just don't call Walmart or Kmart or JCPenney stock exchanges, but it's the same thing, different set of rules. Everything is
I was having a conversation with a brother from South Africa. His brother lives in South Africa, and he was telling me that South Africa is the world's number one exporter of oranges. And I said, man, there's no reason why we shouldn't find a way to benefit from the sale of oranges worldwide. There's a way for you, me, any individual to find out how we can benefit from that. Oranges. You're not dealing with stocks in a company if that sets you off and, you know, gets your spidey senses tingling. You know, you're not talking about stocks. You're talking about something that every day around the globe is purchased. Somebody somewhere is selling oranges every day, and there's a way for you to profit off of that. That's trade and commerce. That's what we pledge that we would enter into. That's all it is.
We don't even have to buy stocks if someone was opposed to that. We could buy futures or commodities, like you said, and we don't necessarily have to profit off the sale of oranges. We could have the oranges delivered. You know, we can have live cattle delivered. If I'm trading cattle, which you can trade cattle, in one contract of cattle controls 40,000 pounds of cattle, I don't necessarily have to profit off that. I can have that load of cattle delivered, and, of course, I got to pay for shipping and handling. But, see, that's what I mean. The stock market, you can do that. Natural gas, you can trade. Crude oil, you can trade. Gas, you can trade, but we don't necessarily have to take the profits. We can take the product and start a gas station, start an orange juice store, or trade coffee, get the commodity, get the coffee, get the sugar, grain, wheat, whatever is the commodity is that's on the market that's tradable. We don't necessarily have to take the money. We can actually take the actual commodity itself. And so that gets to you get to thinking outside the box. You want to start a coffee shop? Okay, let's trade coffee. Brown Marley got coffee. Let's trade his coffee. Get his coffee. Let's not take the profits. Let's just take so many contracts of coffee, pay for shipping. There you go. Now you got the grain. Now you get the coffee. Now you just got to set up a building or whatnot. See, it really is using it for the benefit of self, using the market to benefit self, family, and people.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, family.
When you said that, you know, you talked about coffee and those types of things. When you said don't even worry about taking a profit, you can trade the actual commodity itself. Imagine if we had heads of cattle. Imagine if we had coffee beans. Imagine if we had shipments of oranges. Then you actually have something that I guarantee you got cheaper than the amount of going and buying it retail. You know, you said something that was cheap distribution. When you put all the proper pieces in place and you make sure that from the time that it gets from the manufacturer all the way till it gets to someone's home, when you look at that aspect, those aspects of business, and then we find our niche. You know, everybody, somebody can get into a wholesaling, somebody can get into distribution, somebody can get into retailing. But when we pick a market, whatever the market is, if we look at all those different avenues and moving parts within that market, then that is us entering into actual business, actual trade and commerce. That's how
right.
we got to look at, you know, because you
right.
go into the supermarket and or you go to Starbucks and buy your coffee at $5 a cup, $6 a cup, when you can be on the other end of that. Instead of being a consumer from Starbucks, you can be on the end of that that supplies Starbucks. You can be on the end that supplies all of Starbucks' competitors. You can be on the end that supplies a whole new chain that becomes the rival to Starbucks.
When Imam Elijah Muhammad, as I study more and more, when he said do for self, it really is simple. It's like Brother Steve say, it ain't easy, but it's simple because it is. Like what you just said, just right now. That all we gotta do is just do it together. Do it. But we just so disunified, and we either knock down stuff we don't understand and or just don't have the right disposition towards it, and then we just go work a job. That'd be the solution that we have. Just go work a job. That's not the solution. That's not the solution I'm like Muhammad gave. You got to do what you got to do, but that is not the long-term solution. It is not. And he said, do for self or suffer the consequences. Not do for self and hopefully you'll remain on a job, or do for self or maybe you'll get a job. It's do for self or suffer the consequences. That's like my favorite quote. The consequences. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite quote. And it puts pressure on me to produce, me personally. Because he's telling you, like, if you don't do for self, you're going to. It's not if. You're going to suffer the consequences, and our people are suffering it right now. So we got to do something, you know, and think outside the box. And here's a market that the world uses, that the Islamic world uses. They're rich. Like I did a post not too long ago. Muammar Gaddafi loaned the Honorable Elijah Muhammad $4 million to buy Mosque Marion, which we have Mosque Marion now. It was a Greek Orthodox church, if I believe. He loaned him $4 million. The Colonel Muammar Gaddafi loaned Don Bluth Farrakhan $5 million to purchase the power products to start that back in 85. And when he saw the Million Man March, he pledged to give $1 billion plus back us with the wealth of Libya to do what we need to do. Now, Muammar Gaddafi could only do that if his nation was not trading. If they wasn't trading, they couldn't do that. But they make profit off trading oil. They're a member of OPEC. It's a Muslim dominated organization that trades oil, petroleum. I think Libya trades petroleum, oil, natural gas, and something else. But we benefited from those profits that Muammar got. We got Mosque Marion today because of that loan from Muammar Gaddafi, because of the profits they make from trading oil. We had the power products because of what Muammar Gaddafi and those traders did. And just to even say, I'll give you guys $1 billion and the wealth of Libya to do what you need to do to get us up, that's because of trading. They could not do that if they was not trading. See what I mean? And we're a nation. We're nowhere near that. We're nowhere near that. Well, we could be if we just unify. Not discounting anything that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to do, which is like donate towards the 3-year economic savings fund. That's the quickest and fastest way to do something. That's like a hedge fund. That is a hedge fund. Because in the theology of time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he begged us to loan him, I think, $10 million, and he said he would have paid us 10 cents on the dollar. That's a hedge fund. What the Honorable Louis Farrakhan just asked, if we donated X amount of dollars a year, I think we would have had $261 million. He said then we can buy land, we can even restore some of those historically black colleges that are failing right now. That's a hedge fund. If I take investors' money and go take those monies and go buy this or invest in this. That is a hedge fund. We're just not using the language, but that's what it is. So if we can just get our minds gripped on the right disposition towards those markets, man, I think we can help ourselves expedient. I just really do, and that's why I do what I do. If you pay attention to what I post, it's nothing but trading. Like, trade comments is all I'm about, man.
You got it, man. You got it. I posted the article on Facebook, and someone, I'm not going to say the person, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, I'm not going to say the person is a troublemaker or anything like that. It seems and it appears based on their comments, they really didn't take the time to read and understand what you were saying in the article, because they tried to draw the insinuation that, of course, you know, stocks and the stock market is a gamble. And then at the end, they tried to make the insinuation that for some reason, they tried to draw an insinuation or try to make it seem like it was saying, well, don't worry about the 3-year economic fund, invest in the stock market. No one said invest in the stock market, and no place in the article or in what I was saying was not to support the 3-year economic plan. Everything that we do is supposed to empower us and put us in position to fulfill on our intention to support the drives and the movement of the nation. You know, we can't.
Yeah, see that?
The reason why so many people, or the reason why many people aren't supporting the way that they would like to, is because they're not in position to. Like you said, there are people who are trying to find a better way to do it, but their better way is, oh, I'll get a second job, I'll get a night job, I'll get another job, I'll get a job. But he said, do for self or suffer the consequences. If we put ourselves in the know, if we learn what a trader is, you know, we got a bad, because of that one line in the lesson, the trader made an interpretation that they received gold for their labor more than they were earning in their own country. You know, if we can just get ourselves past that and understand that a trader is someone who has knowledge of a situation. Now, you have people who will take advantage of the fact that they have knowledge and you don't. And you have people who will make sure that they share that knowledge with you. The empowering thing for us
is to put ourselves
in position to know. If we learn what a trader learns and learn what a trader knows, then we can't be taken advantage of in those situations. But we can't afford to remain ignorant about what a trader does, what trading is.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead,
bro. Let me ask you a question. Is the Caucasian the god of this world?
Is he the god of this world?
Yeah, this world that he rules right now. Is he a god?
Yes, he's proven himself to be that.
Okay, but he ain't a good one though. So. He a god, no doubt, but he an evil one. He a wicked one. Same thing with a traitor. I mean, we just had that particular traitor. It wasn't an investor who tricked our people. It was a traitor. Traitor was able to get our people, fool our wise people. Hey, look, you can make X, Y, Z over in another land. And they just took it, hook, line, and sinker. And then he disappeared on them, took the money and ran. But it was a trader who did that. You got traders who got wrong intentions, evil intentions. You got traders who got right intentions. It's no different than what we balance Satan right now. The honorable Louis Farrakhan is balancing Satan on behalf of us. He balancing against a powerful foe. But he the god of his world. But we backed by the supreme being. You got two powers clashing right now. That's what you're seeing. It's no different. Same thing. If it's a traitor tricked us, okay, go be the traitor that helps us. It's that simple. If I get stuck on a traitor tricked our people, therefore I'm not going to be a traitor, then we shouldn't do anything. because Caucasian is tricking us every day. I mean, the Rothschilds own the Federal Reserve, and they print the money. We use that every day to buy stuff, to pay utilities, like I showed in that note. The Rothschilds literally own every Fortune 500 company out there that you depended on. At which point, which one of them stores are you not going to shop at? Show me. Which one of them cars you not going to drive? The Rothschilds own it. if you work for one of those companies, any Fortune 500 company or any of their subsidiaries, you're working for the Rothschild. If you bank with Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Bank of New York Mellon, those are Rothschild-owned banks. Like, at what point are you going to stop? Any bank. The money, the central bank, let's just stop with that. They own it. And these are the same family that the guy said he saw himself pushing into a lake of fire. But are you going to stop using the dollar? It's a falling dollar. Are you going to stop using that? Are you going to stop driving Ford and Toyota and Isuzu? Because if you are, I'll give you an address where to ship that car to because I can use it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's, you can't, if you allow that a trader tricking you and therefore you're going to avoid the markets, then you shouldn't do nothing. Don't go to Walmart. Don't go to Kroger's. Don't go to Winn-Dixie. Don't go to Walgreens. Don't go to any store that you're dependent on for your service. Don't trade in. Don't buy any utilities. Don't none of that stuff. Because all that stuff is tradable, and it'll all be traced back to the Rothschilds, and you're using that.
There are two reasons why people shy away from conversations like this. One reason is because it's convenient. You know, it's convenient to not learn. It's convenient to not put forth the effort to try to avail yourself to this knowledge or this information. Okay? The only other reason is because you got a troublemaker who sees and who knows and understands that we have a means and we have a way to get ourselves out of the condition that we're in and actually make a difference and make a change in our condition. But they want you to stay away from what could actually help you. Just like there are people who try to deter us from listening to Minister Farrakhan. He has something that's good for us. Now, if we don't pay attention to what he has that's good for us, we won't benefit. We'll surely stay in the condition that we're in, or we'll slip into a worse condition. Okay? So doing nothing is not going to, you know, not going to improve our situation. But that's exactly what's going on with this situation. The people who say do nothing or the people who say stay away from that, they're either trying to make that trouble because they don't want you to actually get into something that could actually help and help you to learn so you can't be taken advantage of in the future. Anybody who's trying to tell you to not investigate, not go and acquire knowledge so that you can know better is not your friend. They're not trying to help you. And all we're saying on this show, all he's saying in this article, is learn. Learn. Take the time. A trader is not someone who is out to harm you. You should know what a trader knows. If somebody can fight, whether they can fight Flatbush style or whether they can fight Shaolin Kung Fu, you better learn how to fight or else you're going to get beat. There are people who understand trade and commerce, and every day they make money off of you.
Yeah.
You need to learn how to defend yourself in that arena. I guarantee you.
Yes, sir.
Even though we should train, even though we should get physically fit and this and that and the other, the fight, by and large, is not going to be you and me knuckling up. Okay? Our people are under attack. America is in loss because of what's going on a financial and economic battlefield. It would be wise for you to find out what's happening on that battlefield and put yourself in the best position you can possibly be in. That's the purpose of this show and this article and this conversation that we're having tonight.
It's like what you just said, Key, it's about learning. How to, like what you just said about the martial arts, you learn how to, you go learn jujitsu or capoeira or harango or wushu. You learn those arts. Moses Powell learned jujitsu and became a master at it. Jordan learned how to play basketball. He practiced till he became the greatest. A doctor doesn't just go in the operating room and start working on something. He got to go through training. He learns how to do it. Everything. I'm a recording engineer by training. I had to go learn. I went to two schools. I learned how to work them big boards. Like, everything in life, you got to learn. The only like Muhammad learned how to be the Christ. He just didn't wake up one day and become that. He had to work towards it. Was taught by God for 3.5 years. I mean, same with Don Lewis Parker. Everything you do in life is about learning. So it's about learning how to be a trader, not an investor, learning how to. Because there is a big difference in being a trader and an investor. You know, and one's very simple explanation is like an investor, you know, they typically just go long on something. They believe the price is going to go higher, so they just give their money towards that. But if a market changes direction on them, they have no way of getting out. They have no exit strategy. And that's why a lot of our people are fearful of that, because a lot of our people are investors. Either they get 401ks or mutual funds, and they're not managing their own stock. They're leaving it up to their company's portfolio manager to do that. And that portfolio manager don't have any safeguards for you to get in and get out. So if the market goes up, it's in a bull market now, which means the price of all the securities are going higher, then you make money. But if the market falls and goes in the other direction like it will and it's going to, then they lose money. And an investor is the least informed people, whereas a trader gets in when it's long, a trader gets in when it's going down. He profits in both scenarios. And I know I was talking to one person, and they were like, it's a bad idea to profit like in a scenario like disaster when the markets crash. There are a lot of people that take losses. And that's true. But I'm saying as a people, you're getting ready to profit. Allah is absolutely destroying the country, curtailing it. America will be destroyed. The power will be given to you to rule. He actually said he would destroy nations, just the one of us, just to teach us, just to make sure we on top. So you're profiting from someone else's disaster. It's about how you look at it. Because Allah don't look at things with emotion. It is a lecture the minister did in 91 called The Mind of Allah, where he was like, if you could get into his mind, you would see a cold-blooded, calculated killer. Because no emotion actually affects him. And when you see the loss of life on the planet, a little kid, like the two girls who just lost their life in the airplane crash, you know, Allah has control over that. But then we would ask, why? Why did those two teenagers lose their life in an airplane crash? Why does why does anybody suffer and die? Why does this person lose their legs or whatnot? Allah does works on a whole other mathematical scale, man. That's how we got to think. Since we're saying we're God, or we're taught to be in God, we got to think mathematical and not necessarily emotional. And if the Caucasian takes a loss, doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to take a loss. Quran even tells you about that when it says in the Al-Asr, the time, surely man is in loss except those who do good. By the time, surely man is in loss, except those who do good, those who exhort one another the truth, and those who exhort one another the patience. That means I can avoid the loss that's coming in anything if I'm doing these criteria. I don't necessarily have to take a loss in the stock market. And that's one of the things I go in on the next note is a man named Jesse Livermore. Most people talk about the Great Depression in Wall Street in 1929 and how it crashed and how all these Americans went broke and rich people lost their money, but they never talk about a man named Jesse Livermore, who's considered one of the greatest traders out there. That man made $100 million in the crash of 1929. He actually, in today's dollars, he would have walked away with $1.2 billion. And his wife thought he had lost all that money, that she had all this stuff moved out the house. So when the time he got home, he came home, all this stuff was sitting on the curb. She was like, I had everything moved because the stock market crazy. Like, I made $100 million while everybody else took a loss. Now, the question is, why didn't he take a loss? Why didn't he suffer? Because he was a trader. He was not an investor. He was able to pay attention to the signs. He got in. He shorted the stock. He made, in today's dollars, $1.2 billion. You do not have to take a loss. Investors take a loss. Traders don't. And that's the thing. The type of trader I'm talking about. A day trader takes losses, and they're gambling. But our type of trader, where we're rules-based, system-based traders, you don't take losses. You paying attention to the signs. And the Quran talks about that all day. We would just heed the signs. Signs in creation, if man would heed. See, everything is Islamic when it comes to the trade, and that's why I love Brother Fox and Sister, because it is it very much is right in line with our teaching, and if there's a disconnect, it reconnects how you should be thinking globally.
You know,
how you should be thinking, how you should be looking.
Like,
we got a farm. You talking about Steve that?
Right, I told him, yo, this is Islam, brother. Right from then, every time I speak to him, I just say, Assalamu alaikum. I'm like, yo, you can't fool me, man. I know where you're coming from. All you're teaching is Islam. You read the signs. You learn how creation operates. You learn how creation operates. When you see that a movement is taking place in one direction, you can get with that movement and benefit from it. When you see that it begins to change and move in another direction, you properly position yourself to benefit from that. That's Islam is mathematics. Mathematics is Islam. And after you learn it, you must learn to use it to secure some benefit for yourself. That's all we're talking about here.
Here's one thing Brother Steve did for me. He didn't actually show me this, but I was just connecting with the teachings on it. You know, the Caucasian trades in his stock market on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, he trades weather futures. He trades hurricanes, rainfall, snowfall, frost, heat index of certain cities that either hurricanes are going to hit or snowfalls are going to hit or heat index, like Tucson, Arizona is on there for the heat index. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm studying it. I haven't actually did it. I'm studying it using his system to actually trade weather futures. With the principle in mind is that the Son of Man, we know the Son of Man is who calls rain, hail, snow, earthquake. We know we got a Holy Quran and Bible that talks about what's coming to America, and you can see that. But our people are going to be displaced by that. The tornadoes and hurricanes are no respect to persons. Our people will be displaced by some of that, like they were in Katrina, for example. So if we could trade weather futures, knowing that that's happening, and if there's a trend there in weather futures, we can take what Allah is getting ready already to do to America. That's coming. We can actually, if there's a trend there, we can actually trade that. Take the profits that we extract from trading weather futures and then use that money to help our people that are displaced by those events. That's going to happen. That has happened. It happens every year. But see, we know
now,
last time
those of you who just heard what he said, don't think that he said gamble or bet on the weather. He did not say that, okay? He used terms that you will have to actually go and learn about. There are people who know about these terms. They know about securities. They know about commodities. They know about futures. And they are positioning themselves to benefit when they can from the trade of these stocks, commodities, securities, and futures. Don't think that he's saying take a chance, gamble on the weather. You know, stop. Just stop. Before you start to form any opinion, what we are asking you to do is put yourself in a position to learn. The brother just said, we keep mentioning Steve Fox. He was a guest on one of our previous shows, and he has a class that he's teaching, and he's actually offering to members of the Nation of Islam so that we can get the knowledge, acquire knowledge to benefit self and kind, okay? There are people who he has already trained in the Nation of Islam with this knowledge and how to do this. So they can't take the brother out before it benefits us because he's already duplicated his ability in others. His aim and his mission is to go and touch and teach 100 brothers and sisters from the Nation of Islam into the science of trading so that anywhere in the world where we are dropped, we can learn how to position ourselves properly to benefit from the trends that go on in global markets, and so that we can make the minister's word bond and enter into that international trade and commerce like we pledged we would. So that's what he's saying. So before you take anything away from this show, understand that point first and foremost. There's a body of knowledge out there that is absolutely necessary, so necessary that we have a ministry of trade and commerce within our nation. Not business, not hustling, not any of that. Ministry of Trade and Commerce, and we now have a means and a bona fide system to study and build up our, I guess, our knowledge base on the science of trade and commerce. And I asked Brother Mikhail to come on because he is complete. Did you complete the course, Brother?
Yeah. I'm in the paper trading phase right now.
Okay,
but
so
I did.
The 15-week course, and the paper trading phase is after that 15 weeks.
No, it's about 3 to 6 months. 3 to 6 months that you get to experience the market cycles while executing the system, so that you can actually see and practice the system before you actually commit real money. So it allows you to do it real time, real markets, real information, real data, virtual account, but you're not committing real money. And then after 6 months, then you're ready. For 3 to 6 months, then you're ready to commit real dollars to do what you need to do. And I just wanted to touch real quick, Brother Bernie, about weather futures. It's no different than you buying insurance for your house against flood or a hurricane or a tornado, or in certain areas. Like in certain areas where these things occur, there's insurance companies that insure you against the loss of that. So a lot of companies trade weather futures for the same reason, because a snowfall or an unheard-of snowfall can shut down a business, can shut down profits of a farm if they can't grow their commodity or whatnot, bring it to the market. So they have like financial effects. So they allow them to trade weather futures to hedge against a loss. Same way that you do when you buy insurance on a car or insurance on a house. Like, you can't even own a house if you don't have insurance. And normally when you get a mortgage, the insurance is built into the house. Flood damages or fire, stuff like that. So it's the same principle. Except that in Brother Steve's system, we don't move unless there's a defined trend. Well, that's the difference. You're an investor, you're listening to pundits and you're listening to the Jim Cramers of the world who say, buy this stock, buy this, buy that. We don't. There's four rules that must be valid before we can get into any trade. So I'm saying doing the same thing with weather futures, since I know our people are going to be displaced, I know these things are going to happen. What I should be doing as an alert trader is I can't stop what Allah is going to prophesy is going to happen to the country using weather. That's going to happen. But as an alert trader, I can benefit off that by paying attention to the sign, paying attention to the trend, trade those weather futures, take those profits, not for self, but take what I make off trading the weather futures that look like a disaster in one sense, and take that money and help our people who are displaced by those same events. Rather than, you know, a believer, can you donate what you can? And most of us, we don't have the money. Our heart wants to give way more than what we are able to do, because we just, all of us are in a situation. So that's thinking outside the box. That's working in tandem with the God of the Lord of the worlds, what he's getting ready to do. But that's the type of thing I'm talking about. The trading mentality makes you think that way. It connects that way. Like, there's nothing I can do about the weather, Allah doing what he's doing with the weather, but I can trade it, and if there's a trend there, I can extract profits, and I can use their profits to help those who are displaced. Prime example was Katrina. I wish I could have did more in Katrina. I couldn't do nearly as hard as I would like to. You know, there's a lot of people who were displaced. And what if we traded that? There was a hurricane, and it was in a downtrend, and we made XYZ off of that, and we were able to commit that money to helping those families. That's just a whole other level of thinking. We can do that. Trading. We can do so much trading. It does so much liberation for how we think, how you maneuver. Like, I just can't. That's why I push it so hard. I'm like, man, if we can just collectively see and not just be so negative or whatever we don't understand, Quran said Allah permits trade. That should tell you right then and there, I need to learn more. Doesn't necessarily mean you're supporting Wall Street, but you are dependent on the infrastructure already. So why be dependent as a consumer? That's the part that don't make sense to me.
And here's another thing for you. Here's another thing. The pledge was to enter into international trade. If you have a problem with U.S. stock markets, guess what? There are emerging economies all around the world. You can trade goods and services, and you can trade on the business that's being done in Brazil, in India, in China, in Australia. Pick a place in the world that's 196,940,000 square miles. Pick some place and enter into international trade. You have no excuse.
There's 120 stock exchanges around the world, and Africa by itself has 29 different stock exchanges. So if you don't want to trade
black
in
ones,
the United States.
The ones who don't want to do nothing, unless it's black, there's a hundred. How many in Africa alone?
29 stock exchanges.
No. Study the white man and his ways in business. He makes no excuses for failure. They work hard in a collective manner. You do the same.
You do the same. There's a group among our people that has formed the Black, I think it's called the Black Base, the Black American Stock Exchange. Same principle as the rest of the stock exchanges, except they're trying to help black-owned companies that you can buy shares in, that you can invest your money in, because that's one of the reasons companies issue stocks, to raise capital to offset their business expenses or to develop product. And our people are not getting loans from these banks. These banks are not loaning our people in small business. So that Black American Stock Exchange is a way to do that. Now, I'm a trader. I have a different philosophy towards what we invest in. We just don't move unless there's a trend. But the principle I'm saying is there. Our people are trying to do the same thing. And if you have a negative outlook towards the markets, then you're actually committing treason against your own, because we can help each other, and we're not. We're just because we have such a narrow, myopic thinking. They're not for everybody. I know there's some people, it's just lack of knowledge. But there's ones I've come across where it's just myopia. Like, you obviously you're not reading, because because Prophet Muhammad, if you studied his history, he was a trader. Like, that's how he started. Most people think he was poor. He was a trader. And when he married Khadija, she had way more capital. He was doing business for her, and he had a lot of money. He became her manager. And he had more capital to trade.
From their transactions in the marketplace.
Transactions, right. He was a trader. He learned trading from his uncle when they used to do small trades around the Kaaba, and he ended up getting the name Al-Amin, the one you can trust, from investors in Mecca. So the Meccans were coming to him with money to invest, and he would take trading trips to Syria and Iraq and all these different places. Prophet Muhammad was a trader. The Almighty Muhammad, like I said, in Theology of Time, he breaks down what he was doing as a trader, making all these deals with Korea and Japan. And the only thing he was doing in that lecture was chastising all of us that went behind him. Like, if we found out he was going to Korea, we tried to jump to Korea to go make a deal for ourselves, whereas he was trying to make a deal for the entire people.
Brother, believe me, that is going on to this day.
Yeah, I know. But it's the trader is in everything. And like I said, I think I quoted in that book, in that note, the Bible in Ecclesiastes 11 talks about invest your money in foreign trade and you'll make a profit. Then it said diversify your trade or your portfolio, because you never know when you're going to have good or bad. Like, it's in the scripture, like, principally. The Good News Translation actually specifically says that. So trading is a part of our life. There's another part in it. In the New Testament, it talks about trading, where in one scripture it talks about talents, where, you know, one man was given five talents, the other man was given so many talents.
Right.
He went back and tripled his, he went back and doubled it. But, well, in another, I think in John or Mark, they actually used trading. They made their money trading. The same story, but the word trading is there. Like, you trading is throughout life, but. You know, like I said, we're as a people, we're missing out totally, and I don't expect our people to know, well, for lack of knowledge, because, you know, that's why we're here. But for us that are learned or so-called conscious, like, it, it to not even to embrace trading or to really research it. It's cool to have reservations, but learn what you have reservations about. Learn about it. Because that's where the world is moving around trading, except us as a people.
Brother,
except
let me
us.
Do this.
Everybody's
let me do this. We have like less than we have about less than 2 minutes left. So I want to you see this conversation. You got to come out with part two soon, so we can have you back and expound on this even more. What I want all the listeners to do is go to www.noi.biz, and the article that the brother posted, the note that the brother posted on Facebook, is put on the Nation's Business Exchange website. Go to noi.biz. And look for the article that actually says trading the stock market and the Nation of Islam, part one. Okay, read that for yourself so you can get all the information that he put in the article. Then sign up for the information. You want more information, you want to learn how to take that little that's in the article and actually begin to move and apply and put that into action for yourself. Like you said, the first thing what we're trying to get you to do is enter that class so that you can learn the science of trading. That's what all this conversation is about. There's knowledge out there. We got to go get it. We want you to get into the class because we want more people to join this conversation. Hit that. Connect with my brother on Facebook. Brother, give him your name on Facebook so they can know how to find you.
It's Brother Mikael Trader-Matic Muhammad.
Mikael Trader-Matic Muhammad.
Trader-Matic.
I'm on
there
with Brother Vernon Muhammad. And you can also check the teacher, the mentor of the class, Steve Fox with two X's. Actually, on Facebook, he's Trader Fox, TraderFoxx. All right, let him know that you heard about this from the Blog Talk Radio broadcast. Let him know you heard from Brother Mikael and Brother Vernon. And go ahead and take it from there, but this is knowledge that we got to get. Brother Mikael, I'm so thankful that you accepted my invitation and came on with me, brother. We got about 30 seconds, so all I got time to do is give you some love, tell you I thank you, soldier. May Allah bless you with peace.
I appreciate you inviting me, fam, and I hope the knowledge was valuable for your listeners.
No doubt about it, brother, no doubt about it. That's the end of another show, the No Romance Without Finance show. I know you thought we was going to talk about lovey-dovey relationships and whatnot, but there can be no romance without finance. So peace and blessings, y'all. Assalamu alaikum.